welcome to Inbound Raleigh, a podcast about transportation in the city, folks. I'm Jennifer.
And I'm James. Spring is nearly here, and you know what that means.
Yay, I can finally sit outside and drink local beer?
No.
Riding my bike is more comfortable because of the nice weather.
That's a little closer. It's time for resurfacing to begin. And as you might guess, the city of Raleigh has a lot of street maintenance to do each and every year. And along with that, they take a moment to think about whether they're going to repaint the white lines in exactly the same way or not.
Right. So are you going to keep the same number of car lanes or maybe give a little bit more room for bikes? And the city lists all the streets it plans to resurface each year on its website. We're going to link to that in our show notes.
But meanwhile, we've asked the city's bicycle and pedestrian manager, Trung Vo, to come in and explain more about how all this works. Welcome to the show, Trung.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
So first, the city has more than 1,000 miles of streets to maintain. Talk to us about how we pick which streets need resurfacing each year.
Yeah, so there's a regular evaluation of what we call the PCR, which is the pavement condition rating. And so that's from 0 to 100. It's kind of like grades in grade school. And so once the pavement condition rating of a street drops below 80, we start to think about replacing that pavement and resurfacing. But there are a lot more needs than availability and available budget. So we look through that list, we filter out all the ones that might be improved otherwise by private development or through another project, or maybe there's another nearby project that we should coordinate with and we defer to another year. And then at the end of that process, we kind of have our final list, and then we look at our budget, what can fit, what can't, and then we finalize typically in February, March.
Okay, so about how many streets or miles of streets get resurfaced on average?
So it's kind of hard to say, and it's hard to point out an average because the streets, they vary so widely. You know, they might be really narrow streets where there's just one lane each direction. They might be really wide streets. But in the last couple of years, it's been anywhere from 25 to 30 miles. Okay. But that's central line miles. That doesn't include lane miles. That's a little bit harder to track. So, like, you know, lane miles is the number of miles of lanes in each direction.
Yeah. Right. So, like, a four-lane road and a two-lane road would count the same, essentially, under that measurement?
Right.
Exactly. You're doing, like, twice as much.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So, that's why in some years you might see fewer central line miles, but it's basically the same amount of work.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So what's the budget cost for this usually, or what is it this year?
In the past couple of years, there's been a little over $7 million in each year, and that's going to go up to about 8.5 in the next 5 years.
Okay. Is that just because we have more work to do?
Our tax base increases, and we try to keep up with that.
Okay, and so this year it looks like the planning team has chosen 16 streets as candidates for bicycle markings. Tell us about how that selection process works and why they were chosen.
Yeah, so if you look at the map, it looks a little random.
Yes, it does.
But the reality is that resurfacing for the bicycle program is very opportunistic, and so we take a look at all of the streets that are have a pavement condition rating of less than 80, and then we overlay that with our bicycle recommendations from our bike plan. And everywhere where it overlaps, that's where we consider installing bike markings. And so in some cases, we need to do some traffic analyses. Any case where we take away a travel lane, where we consider taking away a travel lane, we do traffic analysis to make sure that it doesn't cause congestion beyond what's acceptable. In any case where we consider taking away parking, we work with our parking division. Try to get a sense of how many people are parking, what kind of commercial loading zones there are. And then anywhere where we overlap with a bus stop, we work with Go Raleigh, and we try to make sure that we stripe the road in a way that communicates to bicycles and bus drivers that they should watch out for each other.
Okay. Real quick, I was just curious, because I've seen this in the council agenda sometimes. Does city council have to approve removal of parking spaces, or is that something that staff can handle?
They do.
They
yes.
do. Okay.
Yeah.
I was just wondering about that.
Yep. So if you really want to get into the weeds, you can
That's
look,
what we're here for. Yeah.
Perfect. you can look at our traffic schedules.
Okay.
Just Google Raleigh traffic schedules, and you can see basically all the codified everything that has to do with traffic. So that's Yikes. That's parking zones, that's bike lanes, that's turn lanes at intersections.
Sounds like my bedtime reading for sure. it's
a lot to go through, but basically when we ask to install bike lanes or remove parking, we're asking for codification of those in those traffic schedules.
Okay, very cool.
So as those get restriped, these lanes, it's always a bike lane, or are we still doing sharrows occasionally?
So the philosophy of our program, we're trending away from sharrows because
frankly, it's a weird name, or
people don't. I mean, at least the impression I get as a user / like person out there, is people don't really like sharrows. They don't seem to do a whole lot. Is that the city's opinion?
Right. So they don't do a whole lot. So if you look at our 2016 bicycle plan, it's really focused on how do we get people that are sort of on the fence about riding a bike to ride a bike, and it's all about safety, right? So I think we've talked about this before, where when I chat with folks that aren't riding their bikes, they say, hey, I love the Greenway, but there's no way I'm going to ride in the street. And I can't argue with them on that, especially on certain streets. And so we're trying to create a network that's for all ages and abilities. So, you know, whether it's your 8-year-old kid or it's your 80-year-old grandparent, we want to create a network that feels safe and comfortable for everybody. So sharrows, unfortunately, they're just not cutting it. There are certain situations where they work really well, where the amount of traffic and the speed of traffic is already pretty low, and so you're just trying to remind folks that, hey, that you might see some bicyclists. Or if there's on-street parking, they're really good for encouraging bicyclists to ride outside of the door zone. But there's limited use for the sharrows. So in most cases, we're looking at bike lanes unless it just can't fit. And if it can't fit, then maybe we consider sharrows for a short stretch.
Okay. So back in January and February, you actually had a round of public meetings to get feedback about those options. What kind of feedback did you get from the public on these?
It was overwhelmingly supportive and nice. Positive. So there were a total of 16 streets, and I'll talk a little bit about how that kind of changed in the last week or so. But for the most part, we got a lot of really great feedback. So there were the 7 public meetings. There was the online survey. And then I also got some emails and some phone calls. The 7 public meetings, you all have been at public meetings. And the attendance can vary wildly.
Yeah.
And we just kind of felt like we needed to provide abundant opportunities for people to provide input. And so we probably saw 2 to 3 people at each one, but it's kind of your shotgun approach where you just have all these meetings, and if someone can't make it to one, they'll make it to another. And I also really appreciated the News and Observer had an article about the resurfacing, and there were quite a few folks that came out only because they read that article.
No, that's nice. Yeah.
But there was some pushback to one or two streets where we were proposing the removal of parking. It's definitely a touchy subject, and so Glendenen Drive from Ridge Road to Glenwood is really the only one where we got negative feedback, but it's also the one where we got the most positive feedback. And so when you kind of look at the comments, you see a lot of folks saying, "I live here. I need to be able to park here. I don't want to cross the street because traffic's driving too fast, or there's too much traffic, or there's service folks, they need to park their vehicles during the day." And then on the flip side, you've got folks that are saying, it just doesn't feel safe to ride my bike along the street because the bike lanes kind of jog back and forth. It's pretty hilly. People drive fast because the lanes are wide. And so you've got these two sort of constituencies that are vying for the same pavement space, but for different reasons. And so that's something that we work through a lot with the public. We want to hear that. We want to understand what the concerns are. And then we work through our Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Commission, and they're the ones that provide the recommendation to City Council. So, us as city staff, we provide the resources and information, and then BPAC, they're the ones that make the recommendation to City Council.
So in that case, did it still land with the bike lane, or the parking went out?
Well, so this is fresh news. As of February 23rd, BPAC, they had their annual retreat, and they are recommending something like what you see on Ridge Road, where there are time restrictions for parking. So you have continuous bike lanes, but and I think it varies on Ridge Road, but you know, from 7 to 9 in the morning and from 4 to 6 in the evening, you can't park in the bike lane, and every other time you can. And so you're basically accommodating, you know, the highest traffic for bicycle traffic, commuters basically. Mm-hmm. So BPAC is recommending something like that on Glen Eden Drive, except they're suggesting that it's 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. where you can't park in the bike lane.
Okay.
There will still be parking on the south side of the street. You know, it's just parking lane, and then there's going to be a bike lane in both directions, two travel lanes, and then the proposal is it includes removing parking on the north side. So so there are options. It's really up to city council to decide. We're going to go to city council on March 6th to offer BPAC's recommendation.
Okay. So some of our listeners, they're probably mostly drivers. Just, I mean, this is Raleigh and that's just kind of how it is, instead of bicycle riders. And you kind of touched on this, but why is it so important? Like, if I'm a driver only and I don't even care about riding a bike, why do I want those bike lanes out there?
Yeah, so bike lanes have been shown to, they can reduce congestion and reduce confusion and frustration, because the speed differential on most streets between drivers and bicyclists is so different. You know, a bicyclist, if they're booking it, they're going 15, 20 miles an hour. But if they're just, you know, like my wife,
if they're mean,
or they're me with the trailer, you know, and I'm pulling my kid, we're going like 8 to 10 miles an hour. Hmm. And a driver, if it's a 25 mile per hour street, they want to go 30. If it's a 35 mile per hour street, they want to go 40, 45. And so that speed differential is so extreme that it just makes a lot more sense to organize the street in a way where bicyclists have their space and drivers have their space. Of course, this requires really thoughtful planning and design at the intersections. That's where most crashes, whether they involve bicyclists or not, that's where most crashes occur, just because of the conflicting turning movements. But also there's sort of this... you know, folks might say, hey, I'm never going to ride my bike to work because I work in Durham and I'm not going to trek out there. But on the weekend, if, you know, some friends invite me to ride a bike, then maybe I'll consider it. Or maybe there's a park down the road that I never knew about. But maybe on a weekend, if it's really nice and my kids want to, that or my friends want to, then I'll pull up my bike and ride down the street. So ultimately, biking will become a viable option for recreation and transportation.
Okay, great. And so what's the timetable for the resurfacing?
The resurfacing will start in April, and then it'll go to October. I think this year there's about 75, 80 streets, and it's really up to the contractor to decide which streets they start with and what streets they end with. We generally get a good idea of which streets they work on, but we try to tell residents and property owners it's kind of just this time frame. And then really the whole cycle starts all over again in November. We communicate with property owners, residents, tenants, and then we go through public outreach in December and January again. And then,
and then it's next year.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So the public meetings are over, but if someone wanted to submit some input on these resurfacing and repainting, restriping, is it too late or how do they do that?
It's too late for this round, yeah. But this is something that we intend on doing every year, providing opportunities through the online survey, public meetings. We probably won't do 7 public meetings next year. That was quite a lot. But we'll definitely do, you know, a handful and make sure that they're geographically sort of dispersed.
Okay. And I'm sure that some of our listeners are thinking about, you know, they know a street that desperately needs repaving, but some streets are city maintained and some are done by the state. So how can people go about finding which is which?
Yeah, so you can Google Raleigh Street Resurfacing. I think it's a second link, and there's a link to an online map that shows street maintenance. And so everything in red will be NCDOT maintained. Everything in green is city maintained. Mm. And then there are also lines and streets in purple. That's kind of everything else, like NC State and private streets.
Oh, okay.
So you can get a really, that's exactly where you can find out whether or not your street is city maintained or not.
All right. So if it is city maintained, who do we call to complain? politely request.
Right. So there's contact information on that same website, and you can reach out. I believe there's a... I think there's a pothole@rallync.gov email address that you can, if it's just the pothole, then you can report that. If you feel like the entire street needs to be resurfaced, then there's contact information on that website as well.
Okay. And we're still using CClickFix, right?
We're still using CClickFix. Okay. Yes.
I always like to push that. I think it's nice.
Yeah, yes.
It's a neat feature.
Yeah, there's you can use that. You don't have to. You can just email us or give us a call. But the CClickFix issues also come to us.
Okay. Well, thank you again, Chung, for coming in. Is there anything we missed?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, we appreciate you explaining how this all works.
Of course.
Yeah, thanks so much. And if you listeners out there have any thoughts about our discussion today, please go ahead and share them with us. You can email us at inboundraleigh@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. If you're a fan of the show, please take a moment to review us on iTunes or your podcast listening platform. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time.